Court Radio is now in session. Call 215-227-2727. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
What? That was extraordinarily good explosion. Something changed with the explosion.
Give yourself a round of applause.
Yeah. Woo! Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Court Radio. I am your host, Dean Weitzman. Every day we're here.
Every Saturday.
Every Saturday.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Every day you're represented.
Represented.
Well.
Folks, I want to tell you that today is going to be a special show. You know why? Because I don't have a guest. You got me all to yourself.
Wow.
Well, I do have my co-host, the one and only Manny Manuel Glenn.
Well, thank you, Dean, for that acknowledgement.
Always. I'm only better because of you. And we've got Tickling Tactics Jackson on the keyboard.
Yeah.
Wait. Tickling Tactics?
I hear that pause.
When did that happen?
Am I turning red? Am I going Elmo or something?
You're going Elmo. You're having an Elmo moment.
Okay. We are going to take your questions. Yes, we are. Whatever is on your mind. You got a question? I got an answer. 215-227-2727.
About anything.
Yeah.
Astrophysics, psychology, biology, you name it. He's got the answer.
That is the number for all things. 215-227-2727. It is a magnificent Saturday in Philadelphia.
It really is.
We have my childhood buddy, Mike, gave me a call from Washington. He's up with his high schooler, his daughter, who's rowing in a regatta as a novice.
Mm-hmm.
Best of luck to her. And what else is going on? We've got...
Down the Schuylkill? She's...
Down the Schuylkill.
Okay.
And then we got a golfing tournament near my house at Aronimink.
Yeah.
Which is kicking the PGA players you-know-what.
-4 might be the best that's up there.
You know why that happens?
It's a tough course.
You know why that happens, though?
Why is that?
These guys, they travel the world, and oftentimes when they come to places like this, they don't talk to the caddies who actually work at the golf course. Mm. The people who are there every day.
And they haven't been there in, like, years. Decades.
So,
do you know, go ahead, finish your thought.
So what happens, what's supposed to happen is the golfer, is his caddy comes to town and he works the course to tell his golf, this is what you got to do. But a lot of times when they do that, they don't include the caddy who does it every day. So it happened with Marion. The scores were ridiculous. So that's why you're seeing the best of the best, not at the top of the leaderboard right now.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Talk to the people that caddy there every day. You know?
Had a thought, but it's gone just like that.
Well, you were talking about there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
The golf course.
Yeah,
the regatta.
The regatta.
This is a busy time in Philadelphia, which I wanted to ask you a question. Philly 250, FIFA, All-Star Game, regattas, all this stuff. A lot of humanity coming to town. Is there an uptick in what you do?
There is. I see more accidents. I see more falls during this period. And folks will call us. They'll have some sort of an incident or accident here. They'll go back home and begin treating for their injuries and then give us a call, letting us know that they've been in an accident. Could we represent them?
That does happen. Out of towners.
Just last week.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just last week. Mm-hmm. Happens all the time. I would encourage people to be as safe and as, you know, yesterday I walked into a restaurant. There was an old, I don't know, older, but there was a couple coming in behind me. And they were a little slow on the uptick. Like, you know, they weren't from Philly. They were like moseying into the restaurant. So I was sitting there holding the door for a second. And normally I would just like walk in and like be like, okay, well, whatever. And I stopped and I held the door a little bit longer until they got caught up and got in there. And he turned to me and said, thank you very much, in a, like some Scottish accent or something.
Oh, they're all the sorts.
Yeah, yeah.
So good for you.
I thought, okay, that's like you know, we should be accommodating to our guests from out of town. Because we got a bad reputation sometimes. As a city, yeah. As a city, we got a bad reputation.
You were the ambassador.
I was. For that moment, I was the ambassador.
Forever, we will be known as throwing snowballs at Santa Claus.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes, yes.
You know what we're going to talk about today, fellas?
What?
Social media and litigation. Now, before you figure that, you know, get your head wrapped around that, I want to paint a scenario for you. You get into a car accident on the Schuylkill Expressway. You know, you come to a stop. There's a tractor trailer in front of you. And the truck behind you doesn't really notice you because he's looking down at his cell phone. And kaboom, he hits you in the rear really hard. And the ambulances and the police come. And you're in the ambulance. And you give the information, you know, your driver's license to the responding officer, and he gives it out to both parties so that you all can figure out who you were in an accident with. And the guy who was in the truck calls his boss, who reports the accident to the insurance company. And before you get to the hospital, the insurance company knows your name and address, and they're already on your social media feed. You haven't even been seen yet in the ER, and they know more about you than you could believe. Yeah. Scenario, yes? Yes.
Real easy.
Yeah, it happens every day. The first thing insurance companies do when they get your information, the first thing they do is they check to they put your name into an index to see what accidents you've been involved in over your entire life. The second thing they do is bust into your social media account and
wait, what do you mean bust in?
Well, I don't mean bust in the sense that they're going to like try some nefarious way to get into your private account.
Okay.
But should your account be public? Is your account public?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Should your account be public, they immediately go into your account and begin downloading anything and everything that they can find. Why is that? Why do you think that is, Manny?
We're trying to get a good sense of who this person is, their history, their track record, to see if there's been anything in the past, any past lawsuits, injuries, who knows? If there's a pattern.
All of that and some then, right. And then some more.
Yeah,
any post, any photo, any interaction on social media that suggests that you may not be as injured as you say you are is fair game.
Anything.
And anything you previously posted that might suggest you had a prior condition is fair game.
They'll go as far back as they have to.
To the beginning of time.
As long as your account is public.
Right. And so what's the first thing that a good lawyer should do? And when you call and you're represented, the first thing I tell my clients is if you've got a social media platform that you're a member of, and almost everybody does, make it private. Make it private.
Right away. All of them. Because folks forget, I got TikTok, I got the Gram, I got Book, I got all of them.
All of them.
Right.
And it goes beyond the TikTok and the Instagram and the, how about OnlyFans?
All of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You're dancing on a pole.
Well, not us, but yeah.
Yeah. Somebody is. Somebody's always dancing on a pole.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah. I too agree with you.
But yes.
Personally, don't know.
Ooh.
Well,
aren't those? Well, those are, I wouldn't know. But are they public or private? I think only.
I too don't know. I can't answer that question. And if I could, I wouldn't anyway. 215-227-2727. And I want you to understand that, you know, there are certain things about civil litigation that are decided county by county. So you would think that there's like some rule, but there's a lot of times there's not a rule that has been promulgated by the state.
There's a word.
Promulgated?
Good one.
Yes, thank you. There are many areas, especially in this emerging, these new areas that are coming up, that the Commonwealth has not addressed it on a statewide basis. So now you can get a judge in Jefferson County, Pennsylvania. Manuel, I know you've been there.
How did you know that?
I personally have not. But in Jefferson County, there may be a judge that when the defendant says to the court, we requested the plaintiff's password and ID for all of their social media accounts, and they refuse to give it to us, and the judge signs an order that says, plaintiff, injured party, person who's trying to get paid for this case, give them your password and ID. And that has happened.
Wow, man.
Look. And that has happened.
Wow.
So you.
That's so much.
that's like such an invasion of privacy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. But it's happened. And like I said, it's county by county. Now, there are other counties which say, no, that goes too far.
Right.
And the state hasn't taken that up. So you just don't know. And that's. So I can tell a client, make your account private. I cannot tell a client, nor would I, go in and erase everything that might not make you look so good. Can't do that.
You can't do that.
I cannot do that.
You can't even imply that.
No,
no.
No hints. That's a destruction of evidence.
Is it?
Yes. Yeah. Once you have that accident and you decide, I'm going to sue him, you think that you've got, like, all the tools in your shed, but the truth of the matter is that it's shared equally, and the other side is entitled to defend that case, and they can defend it with this evidence, and you cannot and should not destroy the evidence. Anything that you do intentionally, like destroying evidence or lying, is almost unforgivable. So if that comes out at trial, there's little that you can say or do which isn't going to look like you're not reliable, not trustworthy. And really, what do you have? You only have your trustworthiness when it comes to you sitting before a group of 12 people that you don't know, and you're asking them to give you money for something, and they have to have some confidence that you're telling them the truth.
It's almost like a default judgment against you once they find out that there's some impropriety.
There you go, brother. There you go. That's, yeah, very, very, very well said. So, no, you don't get rid of the evidence. And a lot of times, like, bad evidence may be able to be explained. Like, well, you saw me coming down the ski slope, but that was 6 months before the accident.
Mm-hmm.
I might have posted that after the accident, but here's the original video, and it was taken 6 months before. And in fact, I can't do that anymore. Now, all of a sudden, what looked like it was a bad fact turns into a good fact.
Which indeed happens.
It does.
Could be the case.
Yes. 215-227-2727. This show is brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. And we've got Sarah on the line who's waiting for your calls, and she'll curate your questions for me, and I will answer them. So feel free to give her a call, 215-227-2727. Go for it.
Well, there are some videos, for instance, that after a certain amount of time, they automatically just delete. There's nothing you can do about those. That happens all the time. Okay. So nobody would question something like that.
No. It's right. not there. It's not there.
It's not there. It's not there. Now, but will they look for that?
Yes.
They will still look for that.
Yes.
Till the end of time, the very first time you posted anything.
Yes.
On any platform. Is going to be delved into. That staff at that law firm, that insurance company, they're going to be looking at everything.
They could, and they're going to be looking for the metadata, the hidden data within it to see dates and times and locations, and that's contained within every photo and every video that one takes, unless, you know, you're literally taking a picture of an old picture or something. But, you know, any camera that you have today, any cell phone, when you snap a picture with this, it snaps your GPS location, your time, and other information that's, you know, that can be extracted from that file, because it is, that's what it is. It's a file.
It really is. Your whole life is in there nowadays. We've turned ourselves into a walking book.
Now, I can't tell folks to erase data that they've posted, but I can tell them, stop posting. Mm-hmm. From this point forward, you are to post nothing, good or bad, on social media. You know, social media is a big lie, right? I mean, really, when you come down to it, we're trying to curate an image of ourselves. So we decide what we put up there and what it demonstrates and shows about us.
Our best face and foot.
If that's what you're looking to do, yes.
That's right.
And so it may not be who you really are.
What?
Yeah.
That is who these people are, Dean.
That's what they want you to believe they are.
What about emails, Dean?
Emails, again, any emails that would be relevant. You don't have to turn this stuff over, but they're going, the other side is entitled to file motions to request the court to allow them to get at certain information. And if they can establish a basis why they need something that that the court buys into, then the court would order you to turn that over. Or they may have what's called an in-camera examination. What does that mean? That means that the court itself reviews what it is you want. And if they think it's more probative, more that it's there to, it has important information that the defendant needs and not that prejudicial, then they will order you to turn those things over.
If you start deleting emails after a case, is that damaging?
Depends on what emails you're deleting and why you're deleting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And remember that things that you think you've deleted may not really be deleted. And so there are, I can hire and I have hired forensic experts to go into a computer and find things that you thought were deleted.
You think about it. This is all the stuff that they do in the FBI and everything.
Exactly. So, you know, the only way to really delete something is to physically destroy the
hard drive.
The hard drive.
Or any memory.
Burn it. Crunch it. Put it in one of those things that they eat cars.
Remember those?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's, you know, but you got to be careful. My office is beginning to do this as well with the defendants. So we can go into a defendant's personal social media sites. There may be evidence in there about how bad they drive or how fast. Maybe they're these kids who are doing races on the streets and they post up these races. You don't think that's going to be relevant
that
when it comes?
Is, yeah,
no. Not only is it going to be relevant, you're probably going to be put up in with charges,
right?
Because all they're doing is just snapping license plates.
Doctors, if you do a social media search and you find 50 other patients who are complaining that the doctor's not paying attention and, he or she has dropped the ball in one way or another, again, it opens the door to providing us with information that we may find relevant, that may lead to relevant information. So social media is a good thing. We use it to bolster our cases, but the defense is using it regularly to beat down plaintiffs who claim that they're injured, and then they're posting things up on the web. And some people just can't stop posting, even when you tell them, don't post anymore. They continue to post. It's their life. It's like oxygen for them.
Well, some folks are monetizing what they post. I mean, they're making a living off of it.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
happens when somebody else posts and kind of tags you in it?
Yeah, there's that.
There's yeah. that, too.
So, hey, don't tag me, Dean.
Yeah, yeah. You're out at some, you know, yeah. fair or something on, you know, on the tilt-a-wheel. And they got you, you know, on a video, and they put and they tag you.
Wow, even your friend, yeah,
yeah, your friends can,
yeah. Hmm. Very careful. You got to be very careful if you're bringing a claim. You know, the responsibility and the onus is on you to establish your injuries within a reasonable degree of medical certainty, and anything that. You know, and what they can do is you have a doctor. The doctor says, "Oh no, my patient is really bad. They can't carry more than 5 pounds for more than 10 minutes, and more than 20 pounds for more than 3 minutes, and blah blah blah." And they lay out all your limitations, and then the defense has a video of you carrying a bag of cement from Home Depot to your trunk, and you do it, and it looks like you're doing it with ease.
Effortlessly.
And they show that to the doctor, and they say, well, doctor, what about this? Now, you know, if the doctor wasn't prepared and if your lawyer didn't know about it, I mean, shame on all of them. But the truth of the matter is that that's the kind of thing that one clip can sink your case instantly.
I have another question. So let's say the case is over.
Before you ask it, I just want to invite people, if you've been involved in civil litigation and this problem has surfaced, we'd love to hear from you today. I want to see how it's impacted you, positively or negatively. Call us at 215-227-2727.
Have you seen if a case is over and the defense wants to appeal, they'll, you know, go back and keep looking?
If evidence hasn't been produced at trial, okay, typically, it's a good question, but typically the appellate courts are limited to exactly the evidence that was presented at trial. Mm. You can't bring in new evidence post-trial. Now, there's some exceptions, but it's very rare. You'd have to maybe get something that you could say they held this back from us. We asked for this. They didn't give it to us. It clearly demonstrates a complete contradiction in their testimony. We couldn't find it before now, whatever. But 99.9% of the time, if the evidence isn't presented at trial, you never get it in. That's pro or con. You might have some really good evidence that you wanted to introduce, but you forgot to. You're not getting that in.
This is nuanced, folks. And all of us have social media accounts. All of us have emails. And all of us have friends that will tag us. All of us have – not all of us have primary care doctors these days, unfortunately. But it just seems to me, Dean, we're all so exposed. If somebody wanted to find what they wanted to find, they can figure or find something out.
Yeah.
Our footprint is everywhere.
We're all an open book with social media.
Yeah, we're all an open book.
And here's really where the better lawyering comes in, okay? The beginning of your relationship with your lawyer, you should be having these types of conversations. And you should be sharing the good, bad, or ugly with your lawyer. And then the lawyer and you will review everything. And when the lawyer has that information, they know what the other side may be finding. And they're prepared to answer those accusations or allegations or attempts at defense that may not be the full picture. But when your lawyer doesn't ask those questions, and I put the responsibility on the lawyer, not the client at this point, because you got to ask those questions. You got to sit down and really understand who you're representing and what it is that is in their past that may harm this claim, and be prepared to handle it appropriately.
And everything said is protected under the attorney-client privilege, correct?
Yes.
Everything they say to you?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
No matter what?
Correct. No matter what. Well, unless you're going to tell me that you're about to kill someone, okay? If you're going to tell me that you're entering into a plan to kill somebody, I think I have an obligation to report you at that point.
All right.
Yeah. Got to protect the public from you. Not you personally, but sometimes from you. Okay. We have, now, as I said to you before, there are different ways that courts are handling this. And in Jefferson County, the courts have said you got to give up your username and password. In Lancaster County, the court says an independent forensic person needs to review it and then decide whether the information is relevant to the case. So a neutral forensic expert. In Bucks County, I think that they've said, no, it goes too far. You can't have the password and ID. So it really is a county by county crapshoot, so to speak.
Mm.
But suffice to say that this has become a real big portion. The other thing is that, you know, you can be surveilled. That happens on many cases, especially on workers' compensation claims. I find it to be almost run-of-the-mill on workers' compensation claims, because those are claims that can extend for years or decades, and the insurance company is stuck with your claim, paying you your wages and your salary, your medical expenses. And so it's usually it adds up to a very large number. And if you're saying that, whatever, let's say you're a butcher at the local Shop supermarket,
right. Yeah.
And you're saying that, you know, you're having problems with your arms and you can't hack the meat the way you used to hack it up before, and then they catch you, you know, on the ski slope with your ski poles,
or playing softball,
anything that may involve your upper body, mm-hmm. right? Then they get out from it. Then they show that to the judge, and they go, "He's a liar."
You just opened up another can of worms in our society today. There are cameras everywhere.
There are, yeah,
everywhere. So those things get asked into question, a ring cam here, a security camera there, CCTV here.
Yes.
Right? All the time.
Early in a case, we're always trying to get ring camera information. You know, there's some cameras that people see when you're going through an intersection.
Mm-hmm.
They're license plate readers, and they're becoming more common. They're not capturing you're not going to be able to get that video.
There's
okay?
You won't see any image of people doing anything per se.
I know. And okay. And I don't know even how long they keep that video. But yeah, that's but cameras on businesses, like your local Wawa or your local deli that might have a camera outside, those are things you can acquire. Sometimes people will give them to you, and sometimes they'll say, no, I'm not giving it to you unless you have a subpoena. And it's our standard operating procedure. We won't give out the video to anybody unless you have a subpoena. Now, you only get a subpoena if you put the case into suit, right? You're at the early stages, it's just a claim.
Right.
So you may have to, if it's important enough, you may have to put the case into suit to get a subpoena power to obtain the video evidence. We're going to take a quick 2-minute break. If you're on the line, if you're calling, we're going to get to your questions after the break. 215-227-2727. We'll be right back in 2 minutes. It happens every day here in Philly. You're walking your dog or headed to work, and in a split second, you're on the ground in pain because of someone else's carelessness. I'm Dean Weitzman. For over 35 years, My Philly Lawyer has been fighting for people just like you. You can't work. Medical bills are piling up, and you need cash to take care of your family. Slip and fall, we've got you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. Accidents happen. It's that simple, right? I'm Dean Weitzman. Every day someone in Philly takes a fall because someone else didn't do their job right. That's where My Philly Lawyer steps in. You need physical therapy? Check. Need someone to take on the insurance company? Check. You need cash? Check and check. We've been winning for over 35 years. Slip and fall? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, we will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. You're cruising down the boulevard listening to your tunes and bam, some idiot runs a light, messing up you and your car. I'm Dean Weitzman. Bad drivers causing accidents are a fact of life in Philly. Another fact, with over 35 years fighting for people like you, My Philly Lawyer knows how to get you the help you need and make insurance companies pay. Victim of a car accident? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of Urban One Incorporated, Radio One, or any of its subsidiary companies.
More legal answers? Here's more court radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome back. I am Dean Weitzman, your host at Court Radio. And we are here on 100.3 WRNB.
And Classics 107.9.
And around the world on YouTube Live.
Yeah.
You may be seeing it live. You may be seeing it as a rerun. I have to, you know, we have
rerun.
To think about
this. They still use those words, rerun.
Oh,
rerun.
This is not
rerun?
A rerun.
What the
you
hell?
You may be seeing it on the feed. I don't know. Well, I don't know what the right word is. We do have some callers, so we're going to take some calls. But if you have a question, simply give us a call or post on YouTube your question, and we will answer. All right, let's talk to Mr. Woods on line one.
Tiger.
Tiger. I don't know about Tiger.
Tiger got his own problems.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Good morning, sir. Could you raise your window or something? It's a little noisy. I want to be able to hear you.
Yeah, he's probably
he's
on speakerphone,
on
too.
Speaker, yeah.
Yeah.
At least he's hands-free.
Yeah, he's got to be hands-free.
All right, Mr. Woods, what's your question?
All right, my question was, I got onto a head-on collision. I had full coverage. So I spoke with my lawyer the other day, and she was saying that I had to have full torque with a permanent damage, and I'm trying to figure out, why, when I asked my insurance company, this is what they told me, that it was full tort all the way through, but now I'm in an accident, now I'm hearing this, that about there's only full coverage part. So how does that work?
Here comes the show. This is the show right
Mr.
here.
Mr. Woods.
This is
Mr.
the show.
Oy, oy, oy. Oy, oy, oy. Okay. All right. Obviously, you don't listen to the show often enough because I try to repeat myself in this regard, and I'm going to educate not only you but every other listener. So here's the deal. Full coverage is a term of art used by insurance companies that means and only means your car, your metal, the car is fully covered. What is that? It means it's covered for comprehensive, which is fire or flood, theft, and collision, a car accident. So comp, collision, and theft. That's the
and liability.
Well, that's not what they mean when they say full coverage.
Aha!
They mean your car has comp, which is fire or flooding, collision, and theft. Those are the three things when they say full coverage, that's what they mean. Okay. There's another term that we use called full tort. It has zero to do with full coverage. And if you get full coverage, you don't get full tort. And if you get full tort, you don't get full coverage. You got to get them both. And full tort means that any accident you're involved in, any accident, any injury in that accident, you're entitled to be compensated. Limited tort means that you've given up the right to collect for accidents that don't cause permanent serious injury. And you know, we can spend hours and hours trying to figure out what permanent and serious is. It's more than this. You have an accident. You have got some muscular injury. 3 months later, after some PT, you're all better. You're back to normal. You have no other complaints. That, I can tell you, will not get you paid if you've got limited tort. Okay? Beyond that, I look at my, and I represent people with limited tort, but I look at everything that the doctor has said about you and every test you've taken, and then I decide at the conclusion of your treatment, do you pierce that threshold? Are you somebody who the jury will believe has been permanently and seriously injured by this accident? And it means there's so much we look at. I ask my clients to keep a pain log and how the accident impacts them on a daily basis, on their activities of daily living. It helps them to share that information with the doctors so that they can see if the doctor's treatment is getting them better. It also helps me to see if there really is an impact on their life. And so these are the things that we do at My Philly Lawyer. Well, whether your particular injuries would be deemed pierceable or not, I can't tell you over the phone. I need to look at every medical record you have. But if your lawyer has told you that they're not going to be able to help you because you haven't sustained a person or a serious injury, then I would suggest you get that lawyer to give you every medical record in your file and you come see us. And then we can take a look at that, and we'll give you our opinion on that. There you go.
Yeah, so, I mean, I respect that. Like I said, you know, my attorney, I've been dealing with him over, you know, years, on top of years. So, I mean, I respect that. But at the same time, I do have permanent injury from it because it was a head-on collision. So, I mean, I am hurt permanently. So, you know, that's not the part. But it was just that whole thing of my insurance company not telling me the truth at the time about this full tort.
Yeah. Well, you know what I do, Mr. Woods? What I tell listeners to Court Radio is, hey, listen, if you want to email me your policy, I'm happy to look at it. And I'll tell you whether you got the right insurance or what you can do perhaps to save a few bucks and get better coverage. Because there are ways to tweak your policy that keep you safe but well insured. And one of the things may be to increase your deductible so that maybe instead of having a $250 deductible, you might have a $1,000 or a $2,000 deductible. Oh, no, I'm taking a big risk, Dean. If I have a $2,000 deductible and my car is stolen or it's my fault in the accident, I might have to pay $2,000 out of my pocket. Yeah, you might. But if you go out of the house with limited tort today, or no uninsured or underinsured motorist, you're taking a bigger risk. You're taking a $15,000 risk that you're going to need uninsured motorists and you're not going to have it. So, yeah, there's always risks we take. We have to measure those risks and decide what makes sense for ourselves. But you can only do that when you have an intelligent person who's reviewing your policy with you. Unfortunately, most people don't have the experience or the understanding to buy insurance. So they're spending thousands of dollars a year on a product that they don't understand. And so I invite you to send me your policy to dean@myphillylawyer.com, and I'll give you a tip or two on how that policy could be made better. And unfortunately, Mr. Woods, you're absolutely correct that most insurance companies nowadays do not counsel you properly on what insurance is best for you. That part of selling insurance has gone by the wayside because most people are buying insurance online, ticking boxes. But even when you're dealing with an agent, in my experience, the agent may have a vested interest in keeping you in the cheapest policy. You're happier as a client. Oh, look, I got you the cheapest policy. And he or she has less risk because if you get into an accident, the chances that you're going to be able to bring a claim against your insurance company are slimmer when you have a crap-ass policy. When you have a quality policy, then you have options. And insurance companies don't like you to have options. They want you to be optionless. There you go. Yeah. All right, Mr. Woods, if you want us to take a look at it, go right ahead. If not, stick with your attorney and follow their advice.
Is he there?
Mr. Woods?
We lost
him. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I hear the Mr. Woods conversation, and a lot of folks are thinking this way, especially now. Dean, right now, the cost of living is ridiculous. Gas, utilities, food, everyone's paying out the you-know-what. I can understand folks thinking about cutting corners on their insurance. I get it. But your advice to them is?
You don't need to cut corners. You're weighing the risks involved, and you're moving risk maybe to the car instead of your body. Mm-hmm. Because when you aren't properly insured on your body, it is at least a $15,000 mistake. If you got the minimum policy with uninsured and underinsured motorist, and you walk out and get involved in an accident, you know you're going to if you're injured, more likely than not, you're going to collect $15,000 at least. If you don't have that coverage, you've just lost 15 grand.
That's the way to think about it.
If you want to take a risk on the car. If you got a car that's only worth $5,000, why do you even have collision coverage on it? Mm-hmm. Take a $5,000 risk, give up the collision coverage, and take that money and buy uninsured and underinsured motorist.
There you go.
I mean, I'm just doing some risk analysis here.
You've done a lot of, you've counseled people privately. Did you ever do seminars about insurance, to say at the office or maybe one of our shows, just for
yes,
haven't you done that?
I have done that,
yeah.
And I do do that. I regularly do that. In fact, we're going to have one of those insurance seminars at the new King of Prussia office coming up, where people can bring their insurance policy and get a review of the policy for free.
For free.
Yes.
You said for free, Dean. You did say free. Y'all heard that?
Yeah.
There you go. No excuse, folks.
Yeah. You have to follow me on social media.
Okay.
There's a cost associated with it.
That's all?
There's a catch.
Okay. Yeah, there's a catch. If you don't follow me on social media, you don't value my opinion. Why should I give you my opinion?
I'll listen to you. Okay.
There you go.
That's sick, counselor.
That's true. Yeah.
215-227.
With his chest out.
2727. Let's talk to Kay on line two.
Okay.
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 Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Kay. What's happening?
This is a question. A family member went on a bus trip during the spring break this year, the school spring break, Philadelphia school spring break. While on the trip, on their return to the city, the bus that this family member was riding on stopped at a restaurant. It was dinner time. The children got off, and they were walking over to this fast food restaurant. When they entered onto the property of the restaurant, they had the landscaping, and they had some rocks that was a part of the landscaping covering a part of the property. My family member walked onto the rocks to go over to, they had a little window where you could walk up and order your food. When he walked onto the rocks, he fell into a manhole.
Wow.
That was under the rocks.
Okay. Are you saying that the manhole cover flipped open when he stepped on it? Or it was missing? I'm trying to understand that.
It flipped open.
Flipped open. Mm.
He fell into the manhole.
Okay.
And in fact, the lid of the manhole kind of spun around and came back down, and it fell on his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God he did not receive any broken bones, but he had contusions on his leg and on his hand. This didn't happen in the state of Pennsylvania, but we were wondering if he had a case.
Okay, so first off, tell me what state it did happen in.
North Carolina.
Okay, so every state has different laws regarding property damage claims like this. And they're very state specific, which is why lawyers get licensed in different states, because they have to learn a whole new set of laws for that state. And so I can't comment to you in North Carolina whether that's a viable and actionable claim, but I could refer you to an attorney in North Carolina to answer that question. I will say that if he has some scrapes and bruises, but essentially needs no medical care, ongoing medical care, no scarring, no permanent loss, that it's probably not a claim even worth pursuing. You know, it may be a $1,000 or $2,000 claim. And retaining an attorney in another state takes time. You got to go down there perhaps for some litigation, and it may not be worth all that effort. If on the other hand you're saying, no, Dean, he's got ongoing problems, he really needs to see a physical therapist, he needs to get some therapy, then I'm saying, yeah, okay, you call my office or email me on Monday, and I'll get you. And then I'm going to drill down, and I'm going to say, not only you told me it's North Carolina, but I want to know what county in North Carolina, because I'm going to get you an attorney in the county in which the accident happened, or close to that county, because you don't want to get an attorney on the other side of the state. You know, if this happened up in the mountains in North Carolina, that's a law firm up there that we're going to retain. And if it happened down by the coast near Myrtle Beach, then that's an attorney in that area. So when folks have accidents out of Pennsylvania and I'm looking to refer them to an attorney in that state, I want to know the state, the county, what type of injuries you had. And then I will associate you with somebody in my network from that area.
Okay.
Thank you, Kay, for calling us.
I will be there.
Have a great Saturday.
Have a good day, Kay.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. You know, it sounds silly, but I wondered why you attorneys get so many, why you practice law in so many different states. You have to learn all the nuances of every single state. That's a lot, man.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
And sometimes you're not really as good in one state as you are as another. Like, all that information, I don't know how you retain.
How different can it be?
Yeah, I don't know how you retain all those nuances.
Listen, what we learn in law school is to stuff all that information into our brain, and the second we finish with that course, we flush that right out and on to the next one. And so, yeah, we may have to... reacquaint ourselves with the law in a particular state on certain trial and evidentiary rules and laws. And you learn that and you relearn that. And then you take you know, you take that stuff and get rid of it right after the case is over. 215-227-2727. That's the number for everything legal in your life. Put it in your cell phone and forget about it. We'll be back in 2 minutes. It happens every day here in Philly. You're walking your dog or headed to work, and in a split second, you're on the ground in pain because of someone else's carelessness. I'm Dean Weitzman. For over 35 years, My Philly Lawyer has been fighting for people just like you. You can't work. Medical bills are piling up, and you need cash to take care of your family. Slip and fall, we've got you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. Accidents happen. It's that simple, right? I'm Dean Weitzman. Every day someone in Philly takes a fall because someone else didn't do their job right. That's where My Philly Lawyer steps in. You need physical therapy? Check. Need someone to take on the insurance company? Check. You need cash? Check and check. We've been winning for over 35 years. Slip and fall? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, we will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. You're cruising down the boulevard listening to your tunes and bam, some idiot runs a light, messing up you and your car. I'm Dean Weitzman. Bad drivers causing accidents are a fact of life in Philly. Another fact, with over 35 years fighting for people like you, My Philly Lawyer knows how to get you the help you need and make insurance companies pay. Victim of a car accident? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Yes, sirree. I am Dean Weitzman. You got the right place. This is Court Radio right here on 100.3 WRNB.
And Classics 107.9.
And YouTube Live around the world.
Yes.
Okay. We've been talking in the front half of the show about social media. I just want to kind of wrap up that, you know, when you're involved in civil litigation, when you've been involved in an accident of any sort, you're pursuing a claim against the responsible party, your social media life is on the table. And you should immediately make, if you are a public social media platform, you should make it private immediately. And be careful on who you accept as friends thereafter, if anyone.
That's important, that part.
However, don't erase anything that's up there because that can be seen as trying to destroy evidence.
And it's all evidence, you said.
Yeah, it's all evidence. And be careful about what you post from the moment you've been in an accident and thereafter. Those are conversations you will have at My Philly Lawyer if you become our client, because we think about those things. And you will be asked to sign a letter acknowledging that we had that conversation and that you were instructed not to do that, so that if you're inclined to continue to post things that destroy your case, I can't help you. There's not much more I can do for you than that. We got some callers. Let's try Mary on line 4.
Yes.
Hi, Mary.
Morning, Mary.
Hi, Dean Weitzman.
Hi. What's your question?
My question is, I did call you before, but I got hurt in New Orleans, and every lawyer down here said have to, well, not everyone, but a couple, in so many words, there had to be the driver's negligence. But my leg was cut on a destructible running board on the Jeep that I was riding in.
Okay, so you're in a Jeep and you're getting in or out, and the running board, your leg comes in contact with it and it cuts you. Is that, am I hearing that correctly?
Yes.
Did you happen to take a picture of that dangerous condition?
No, my granddaughter took a picture of the back part of the car with license and stuff. That's about it.
Uh-huh.
And then she was on the ground with me when I got hurt, so.
Okay.
She was upset, too.
Of course. When did this happen, Mary?
May the 10th, 2025.
Okay, so you're within the statute, presuming Louisiana has a two-year statute. The funny thing about Louisiana is it doesn't follow the same laws of the rest of the country. They're on the French system, not the English common law system. I know, crazy, isn't it? But you really need to have a consultation with an attorney in Louisiana, in New Orleans. If you know what happened to your leg, you got cut. Then what happened? How are you doing now? It's been a year. You got a big scar on your leg.
Yeah, and I'm not really walking because I don't know. This is a problem with the therapy insurance, I guess.
Did you ever get in touch with the person whose car that was?
No, because I don't have no.
Were they Ubering for you, or you know, lifting, or was that a car that you had for hire?
That was a Lyft truck, like
a Lyft truck. So somebody put that on their Lyft app. Was it your granddaughter who called for the car using her Lyft app?
Yes.
Okay. So she may be able to identify who that Lyft driver was from her prior history on the Lyft platform. And you want to preserve that information. And you want to give us a call on Monday. Ask for Jay Berger. Jay maintains our network of lawyers around the country. And let's see if Jay can help you find a lawyer in New Orleans.
Okay.
Thanks for calling, Mary. Have a great Saturday.
I feel for Mary. Good luck, Mary.
Yeah. Mm. Well, like I said before, you need to get an attorney in that jurisdiction.
Break that down, what you just said, because what's the difference? Not the Commonwealth, the French?
Oh, well,
what did you just say?
That's a point, but it's the law, as the law is written in New Orleans, comes up under the French system, not the English common law system. And it's under the French system is based on the civil law system, not the common law system. And so there are peculiarities in New Orleans that you will not find in other parts of the country. Hmm. And so all the more reason why you want to get local counsel in New Orleans for a New Orleans claim such as this. And so, yeah, there you go. Where you live doesn't rightly matter. It's where the accident happened or where the defendant can be found. So if this defendant were somebody who was in New Jersey, let's say. I've had clients where you've had an accident in Florida between a Pennsylvania and a New Jersey car. Then you can bring the claim in New Jersey because that's where the defendant can be found. So it's where the accident happened or where the defendant is located. That's where you bring your lawsuit.
No, I'm just saying what you just said about Louisiana was news to me and a whole lot of people. And that's why you listen because I never heard of that.
I don't know. Nah. Cindy on line three. I'm sorry, Cindy. We're not going to get to you. But if you send me an email, I'm going to get you hooked up with Saul because I see that your question deals with the death of your husband. So you can always email me at dean@myphillylawyer, and I will send your email to my friend Saul Langsam, mm-hmm. who will get back to you with regard to an estate issue. We have somebody for everything. You know that?
Yeah.
And we've got a live show coming up on June the 13th, Saturday, June the 13th. And we are We are going to do a live show at a supermarket in Berwyn, Pennsylvania, called Hung Vong Supermarket. It's a Asian supermarket, but there is an entire Asian food court on the top level, and we're going to be up there with egg rolls and
chopsticks
and answering questions about your legal problems. We'll see you then. We'll see you next week. Have a wonderful week. Thanks for listening. Take care.
Have a good day, everybody.
MyPhillyLawyer.com. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of Urban One Incorporated, Radio One, or any of its subsidiaries.